Welcome to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. I am your host, Henrik Johansson. I am the CEO and one of the founders of Gemba. Gemba helps entrepreneurs and companies to turn their great ideas into awesome new consumer products. Please stay to the end of the podcast and you'll learn how you can be our next guest on Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. Let's do it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Innovator Insight podcast. This is the podcast where we talk to successful product entrepreneurs about how they came up with the initial idea and turn it into an impactful business, a successful product. And today we're super excited to have Griff Jaggard with us. He's the co-founder and CEO of FireDisk. They make self-patented portable outdoor cooking systems, things you make food on. And they have retail distribution all across the U.S. and they sell online and have built a very successful business. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Griff.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. This will be fun.
Yeah, we're excited to learn more about it. I'm a big fan of smoking meat and cooking myself. I often tell my family it's my love language. You know, it's a way to engage with something and have a positive outcome that everybody can enjoy. So a huge fan of what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
But before we get into FireDisk, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are in the world, and you know, family, pets, dogs. What do you do when you're not working on FireDisk?
All the above. Yeah. So we're here down in Katy, Texas, which is just for y'all that don't know where Katy is, it's just outside of Houston. You know, we've had a few different offices in Houston, outside of Houston, and I live in Katy. And so we decided to kind of pull it out here. A lot of our employees lived in Houston, and then we have several in Katy. My brother, you know, lived in Katy, and so this is why we chose this area for sure. And yep. The other thing it kind of worked out is we're right near the Houston port. So when we ship stuff in overseas, it's easy to tackle, easy to maintain, easy to, you know, see where it is for sure. Yeah, I've got two kids. Son and a daughter. I've got a yellow lab, sweet little white, I call her a white polar bear lab. And I am married to my beautiful wife, Jessica.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, congrats on all the success, family and business wise. So you mentioned your brother. So you are the two co-founders of the business. Is that right?
We are the two co-founders. Yeah, we started it together.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how it came about? How did you guys get the idea of doing this?
As a gift, my brother's father-in-law gave him, basically it was like a makeshift plow disc. And people have been cooking on plow discs for years. And, you know, in Spain and Mexico, you know, they call them discadas, etc. And you basically take it, put it on the coals, and it would heat it up. You put food on there, fajitas, you know, all kinds of dishes for sure. So he gave him one and it didn't have a heat source. And we looked at that. We brought it on buddies weekend trips, before, you know, we had kids. And so we go hang out by the fire, cook on, and everybody's like, gosh, this thing is awesome. Where'd you get it? And Hunter and I looked at each other.
Ask you a question. Were you saying this is basically a cast iron plate or something like that, right?
Carbon steel.
Yeah. All right. Right.
Yeah, carbon steel. It was 22 inches in diameter, and so it was good size. It was heavy, and you know, we were throwing burgers in there, hot dogs, eggs in the morning. I mean, anything you could dream up, we were cooking in there. And like, all my buddies were like, this is awesome. Like, where can I get one? And Hunter and I were like, you know what? We may have something here. So you know, one napkin drawing to another, we came up with the FireDisk, and it's been several different versions since that day, for sure, as we continue to improve. But we started out here in Houston, going to machine shops, getting it made, knocking down, you know, different retailers, Bucky's being our first, and before they were massive. And, you know, we finally got it to a point where we could engineer it properly and go at it overseas, which is where we make it now, for sure. But that was the journey. And then we said, you know, you've got to have a spatula. You've got to have a way to clean it. You've got to have, you know, other utensils and tongs to cook on it. And, you know, what we really dove into and we realized before we really went to mass production is that we wanted to be we didn't want to go after the backyard. We wanted to go after the portability market, and we still do today. And as we go forward, and you'll see our products, we got more coming out, and we've got more Buc-ee's. We're about to have a new product in Buc-ee's here, probably second quarter of this year, which will be super portable that nobody's seen yet. So that is kind of our MO, is a portable propane cooker. Yeah, when you think of fire disc, you think of a portable propane cooker. Built a hall, cooks it all.
That's awesome. Particularly thinking about some of our audience and listening, I think what you succinctly described there was, not the backyard, but the portable cooking experience that, I think that's a beautiful and important insight, right? Around understanding who's your target customer and designing products that same customer will use over and over again. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think it's obvious to you, but to many listeners, it may or may not be.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. I mean, you've really got to know who your customer is. And, when you look at your TAM or your total addressable market, the outdoor market, including the backyard, you're looking at 12 plus billion. That's a massive market. And you really got to hone in, what percentage can I tap out of that market? Backyard space is crowded. It is with Traeger, Weber, Charbroil, Rectech now. It's very crowded. So we said, let's pick a niche and go after the portability. And, we built it like a tank. We built it like a Yeti cooler. And, you can't break it. Our return rate is less than 1%. When you buy a fire disc, it's going to outlive all of us for sure. But we wanted it that way because when you're traveling, it does get beat up sometimes. And you don't want it to break. We actually shot it with a 357 Magnum and the bottom of the disc, and it didn't go through. I mean, it's thick 11-gauge carbon steel. So it's very, very tough. And another thing I'll get into is it does season like a cast iron skillet. Same principle, same properties. And once you season that thing, it is so easy to clean, it beads off like a duck's back. But back to my point, we really hone in on the RV, the hunter, the fisher, the camper. A lot of people go to NASCAR events who are RVers. We go after them. Jeep enthusiasts, I mentioned Overland. I mean, that is our target market when we go after people that are on the move.
Yeah. So it's a cooking plate, and then you said it's propane fueled. I think I've seen some videos where you're the largest cooker
to work on the small green propane tank. And we designed it that way, again, as you can similar guess, is because of the portability. It works on the small grade propane, so you can take it with you. And we do have the adapters to go to the big 20-pound tank, but we just find people use the smaller green because it'll last almost 2 hours on that. So that's plenty of fuel to cook, whether you're tailgating, hunting, fishing, camping, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And I think I saw a video where somebody put it on top of Kohl's. Or is that not a way you can use it, or can you use it that way
too? You can do it, for sure. It's just with gas underneath the bowl, it's easier to control the heat.
Yeah, makes sense. And for those who don't know how to season a cast iron skillet, it's pretty straightforward, right? You just oil it and heat it.
Oil it and clean it. That's the simple answer. The more complicated answer is the type of oil. Our grills, cookers get very hot, so you want to use an oil that has a high smoke point. I recommend avocado oil. It's amazing. Very hot, high smoke point, and it's very, very hard to burn it, for sure. Bacon is great, but it has a low smoke point. So if you're going to put in bacon in there, you want to keep it on low. Put it on high, it'll probably burn. So I tell everybody, if you're cooking, just cook with avocado oil. And the good thing about avocado oil, you can find it anywhere now. I mean, any grocery store, any Walmart, all over the country. Very, very easy to find. And as far as, cast iron, you cook on there, throw vegetables in there, meat. I mean, it just gets better with time. And then to clean it, I always tell people, if you're going to clean this thing, just leave it on warm and clean it right away. Don't let it get cold and then clean it. It's much easier to clean it while it's warm. Wipe it off. It'll take 2 seconds with paper towels. If you have anything that's stuck there, I tell people just get a little aluminum foil, wipe it down, you're good to go. No problem.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit. So when you guys started it, you didn't have a background in consumer products or retail. I think you were in real estate. Yeah. And
I was
your brother?
In real estate, yes. I kind of just threw myself into the fire, me and Hunter, into the consumer products market. And I don't recommend that because that's when you make a lot of mistakes. And we did, for sure. But I felt after the first 2 years, I had a master's degree in consumer products, as you learn very, very fast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So those first 2 years, a lot of experimentation. Did you make the prototypes then in the U.S. first and develop sort of the idea? And then later on,
we did.
Started
we
ordering.
Built them all here in the U.S. and we built them here, designed them here, the whole shebang right off in the beginning.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then what was the first, like, how did sales look like in the beginning? When how long did it take before you had a product? And I think you said Buc-ee's was one of your first outlets that you sold.
Buc-ee's
from.
Was our first. That was our first. They only had three mega stores back then when we first started this. Now they have 40 and growing like crazy every year. But that was huge to us. I mean, you look back now, it's small, but in the beginning, that was a home run. I mean, to get in with the Buc-ee's that get so many people through their doors, it was super exciting.
Yeah. So did sales just take off overnight then, or how did that?
No,
how long?
No, not really. I wish that was the case, but you know, you really had to, you know, when we started this, it was an idea back in 2010, and we really went full time on it in 2016. So we took a lot of time developing the product and, you know, kind of how we wanted to approach this, as I mentioned earlier, on the portable side of things. We got Buc-ee's, got that going, and then the e-commerce market with Amazon was just rapidly changing so fast. So it took us a while to really learn how to sell a product online. You know, through our website, you know, where do you advertise? And Facebook was just coming around and getting big, where they were really, you know, taking your money on advertising, and then, you know, Google, and then how do you sell on Amazon? And, you know, everybody kind of understands all of that now, but that wasn't the case when we first started back in 2016, 17.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot has changed in the last, in the last decade. So you started, so that took a while. Then you said, how long did it take before you started launching additional products? And, you know, eventually you mentioned a bunch of different accessories. How did that evolve over time?
I mean, when we first got into Buc-ee's, we knew we needed to have some accessories because you always want to look at your attachment rate. You know, how many accessories do I sell per cooker? And so at that point, we started selling a lot of accessories. We said, okay, let's try to implement another product. And so that's when we came out with, you know, the smaller Fire Disc, and from that point on. But that all happened within probably a year and a half of getting into Buc-ee's. And, you know, once we got into Buc-ee's, we attacked Ace Hardware, True Value, you know, several independent fishing stores from that standpoint. And then we really, really wanted to put a lot of focus online as well. Mm-hmm. When I say online, I mean Amazon and then our own website, direct to consumer.
Yeah. And is it majority online or majority retail today?
You know, right now, majority of our sales are online, and it's been that way over the last probably 4 years.
That's great.
And we kind of made that transition, really tried to do it prior to COVID, and we were kind of in the transition phase with COVID on that. But that's just kind of been our go-to because we feel we can communicate better with the customer that way when they buy direct from you, because it's very hard to control your product in certain retailers. Some are great, some are tough, everybody knows that, but we just felt that's kind of the route we wanted to go. And that, you know, you have to adapt as you go along, and you know, we've adapted many times, and that may totally change based on what the industry shows, you know, with tariffs and all other fun things going on. So you kind of got to always be willing to adapt, and we have. But right now we're really focused on select retailers and direct to consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if you sell online to Amazon, you don't really own the customer, right? So it's much more
You don't
valuable.
know Amazon owns the customer.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. And how big is the company now, people-wise?
We've got, five to, we always range between 5 and 10 employees. We do a lot of outsourcing,
Yeah.
on, different sales reps, marketing companies. And, we always say, we do what we do best and we outsource the rest.
Yeah. It's good to stay lean too, right? If
It
when
is.
there
It's
are
important to stay
fluctuations.
lean with rising costs.
Yeah. So how's the tariff impacted you? Not to get political here, but cost
Yeah,
went
no,
up.
I mean, it is what it is, and I don't like it. It unfortunately, it does hurt small businesses, and I always tell people, I think, sadly, I think 90% of people think that's paid by China. It's not. I mean, those tariffs are paid by American companies, American manufacturers, when it comes into the port, and we can't get our product until those are paid, and it's cost us a fortune. And we did have to raise our prices, like I'm sure you've talked to many other people had to do the same. And unfortunately, it does get passed on to the customer. So we, as a small business, have to stay afloat and raise our prices. And unfortunately, it's caused volume to go down because as prices go up, volume goes down, and that's not something we want at all. I mean, we were perfectly content on and loved the price we were getting it at, and now it's we're being taxed on hiring. I don't like it. Unfortunately, and no, I don't care to get political, but it is something that people need to understand that this is paid by America, and it's unfortunate. And I do hope things change, and I hope they simplify the rules and make them more targeted if they can. But unfortunately, those are things like in any industry that are out of our control. So we just got to, like I mentioned earlier, we've got to find a way to adapt and move forward, and we will, and we are. But anytime you're an entrepreneur, there's always a bump in the road, whether it's tariffs or shipping costs. It's all There's always something you have to deal with.
And almost like like an entrepreneur myself, right? If you at least had stability and certainty, right, then you can adapt to it, and you can figure out a way, or you can make
You can.
long-term plans. You can move sourcing from China to India or to
Right.
somewhere else, right? But if things changes, every 6 months, it takes a year at least to diversify your supply chain, right? So
Oh yeah, I
you
never
see a
thought, like
lot.
the last 2 years we're talking about budgets. You always do year-end budgets for the upcoming year, and with rising tariffs and the uncertainty, your budget's kind of out the window. It's like, okay, I can budget for this, but what if these go up? What if shipping costs go up? Steel costs, whatever it may be, and those you account for. But the last 2 years of the tariffs is not something we've accounted for, unfortunately. So a lot of times you just got to shuck and jive and adapt.
Makes sense. Yeah, hopefully it'll settle down here. But I don't
I
know
think
about
it will. I think it will, really.
that. We will see. Awesome. So you mentioned Yeti earlier. Is that a brand that you guys have kind of emulated? It feels like you're targeting a similar, high-end outdoorsy
Yeah,
audience.
we've tried to implement that, and in our early days, Roy and Ryan Cedars, who started Yeti, were very, very helpful to Hunter and I,
Oh, great.
on kind of giving us direction and how to build our brand and the customer, and from that standpoint. And I mean, it was great. I can't thank them enough. They were very, very helpful when they didn't have to be, and it was great. They were really, really good people and great brothers, which Hunter and I can relate to, which was fun. So yes, and it's a little bit different customer, but at the end of the day, it's also very similar. But yes, that's to answer your question, that's really kind of what we went after. We wanted a higher end product. We didn't want a $100 cooker. Like it was going to be more expensive, and but what you got, you get what you paid for, because it's going to last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are just listening and not seeing the video, Griff had behind him the company creed: gather round, gather around.
That's right.
Can you talk a little bit more about the brand? And I mean, I hear you have a lot of sort of saying that feels like it's ingrained in the company DNA. Can you chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we always wanted a good culture. That was important to Hunter and I when we started a company. And, you know, this is behind me is company creed that, you know, we shared with our employees that Hunter and I came up with. Probably over a few beers one night, but sometimes those, some of the best ideas come from that. But anyways, yeah, so we was doing a really good culture. And, you know, as you grow a company or you're in real estate or whatever industry you're in, you have ups and downs, and you have people that you love working with, you have people you don't love working with. And, you know, we always wanted a tight niche group. And so we did everything in our power that we could to try to get that tight niche group of employees within our company that enjoyed coming to work and, you know, were happy to come in. And we try to involve their family outside of work and inside work. And it's just, to me, it's all about just the clarity that you share with your employees and the brand, and then the direction you're going with the brand as you grow every year.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. What about the customer side? You mentioned that earlier, how important it is with customer relationships and how how do you gather customer feedback, or, you know, do you have some kind of customer advisory board, or how do you engage with them and how do you learn from them?
I mean, there's tons of new ways now versus when we started. You know, now most websites have chat. Most new websites have AI chat now. And so when we started, we initially created a group on Facebook. And it's still there today, and it's awesome. It's about as organic as it gets. We don't control it. The customer controls it, but it's a group. And they share organic photos of them cooking, recipes they're cooking, where they're cooking. And, you know, when we first started, they would ask questions of, you know, the product and how does this work, et cetera. And now each customer answers the questions for us. We don't have to be a customer service company on that group anymore, because there's so many users out there that already have Fire Desk, and they say, I tried this, or try this way of seasoning it, or hey, you know, I just cooked some chili with this recipe, and or hey, the paint chipped off the bottom here, what do I do, is that aesthetic, is that normal? And you know, some people have the little paint pens, they'll dig it up, but we all know the bottom of the cooker, well, I'm on that, the heat is so great it's going to turn black. And so, you know, when you first buy it, you're like, oh my God, it turned black. But that happens. And the customer says, oh no, that's perfectly normal. It doesn't affect the cooking whatsoever, as one example. The other example is we do tons of reviews. You know, every time you buy one, we give people, I think, you know, $25 if they submit a review as a gift card to come back on and submit a review. And then I think you get more, I have to look, you get another almost 35 or 40 if you share it. And so that just helps spread the word. And then, you know, keep customers happy was what we want. And if I said every customer is happy, I'd be lying, because there's some that you just, you know, aren't going to be happy. But I think for the majority, we try to do the best we can to answer questions and get people, you know, what they want.
Yeah, that's super interesting. It was a fellow, Henrik, actually, a Swedish entrepreneur, started a company called BarkBox. He wrote a book about, you know, customer relationships, and he talked about that, you know, you created a community when people are there with or without you, right? When they're talking to each other, when you don't have to be present, then you've actually created something that, you know, it's a status thing for them almost. It's a belonging
thing.
You know, they're part of something that they wouldn't have without your product. So that's pretty special.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, congrats on building that. So what's ahead? We're sitting here almost the end of February 2026. What are you excited about the rest of this year? What are you looking forward to?
This year, we've got a new product going into Buc-ee's that I can't disclose yet, but it's going to be awesome. It'll be in there, you know, in the second quarter. Super pumped about that. Again, it'll be a very, very portable unit on that front. It'll also be available on our website. We've got some new accessories that we're coming out here in the future, and we got some other retailers that we're potentially going to work with, some bigger boxes, which we haven't in the past. And then, you know, we're still going to really hone in on, you know, honing in on our customer through our own website, and we'll still be selling on Amazon as well. But for the future, you're going to see a lot more interaction from our ambassadors. We have tons of ambassadors on TikTok and Instagram. We have a lot more, hopefully, events coming up here that we're going to hone in on, and more recipes that we do. We try to do a recipe of the week that we send out, you know, through our email service. And if you're not in our emails, please do get on there. You can sign up on our website right on there. I think there's a pop-up that comes on. You can put it on there, and we don't spam you. Don't worry. But if you like good recipes on the unique cooker, we can do it. And we do offer lots of specials every week, too.
Yeah. And that's just so everybody knows that the website URL is?
It's firediskcookers.com. And then I mentioned the group earlier on Facebook. You can just type in Fire Disc Owners Group on Facebook, and it'll take you there. Just click join, and then we do have, of course, a Facebook page, not to be confused with the group. But as easy for the website, just go to Google and type in Fire Disc, and it'll pop right up for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got one of those, Kamado Joe ceramic grills, and I cook. That's super freaking. I think but every couple of weeks, and you know, it's a 6 to 10 hour, 12 hour cook, depending on, you know, if you make brisket, ribs, or whatever it is. And I enjoy it, and two, it's, you know, even if I've done it a ton of times, I always kind of pull up the recipe, or look at some other recipe, you know, get more ideas to kind of create some variation of it, see if you can do it better somehow. So I do believe that there's a lot of engagement in that, and then there's a lot of joy in, you know, that the result is joy to far beyond to the person that bought the grill.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an avid cooker, you know, you got to bring the passion. I love it. I mean, I have a Traeger, and I love cooking on it. I love my Traeger. I love smoking on it. You know, we always say that those are not competing products to the Fire Disc. Those are complementary products. I mean, if you're smoking a brisket, smoking ribs, you're going to go to your Traeger or your Komodo, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
If you're on the go and you want to cook fast and you want to cook, you know, unique foods for the customer, fajitas, burgers, something quick, you go to the Fire Disc. I mean, it's just very, very complementary. You got to have both.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're coming toward the end here. Before we quit, any word of advice to our listeners? We have a lot of folks that are, you know, either in the midst of making their first product, or they just launched the first product, and most of them are relatively early in their journey. But after everything you've gone through,
the best advice to get you is, you know, don't go at it alone. It's very hard. You gotta have a partner. It's very hard to do things alone. And second of all, it's not going to be easy. And I'm sure any entrepreneur has been told that, but just don't quit. Cause if you quit, you know, you're done. And just remember, tomorrow is a new day.
Yeah.
And tough times don't last. Tough people do. I heard that from my father.
Yeah. Well, I love this
fun journey.
Yeah. I love what you said first. It's like, don't go at it alone, because I found that too. It's a lonely place, you know, being a founder sometimes. And
it is. I could have never done it without my brother and, you know, my other partners that I have involved and our employees and our customers. It's just hard. Yeah. Very hard.
And inevitably, it's got to be obstacles. And, you know, I haven't talked to a single entrepreneur that there wasn't one time in the history of the company where they thought, we're not going to make it, right? Where you don't know how you're going to make payroll, or you don't know how you're going to, you know, salvage whatever situation you're in. And in those times, it really helps to have someone else, you know, that you can huddle with. And awesome. Well, Griff, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Congrats on building a great company and great product that brings joys to hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And best of luck in 2026 and beyond.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me. This has been very, very great. And happy to do it. Happy to give advice where I can. And really appreciate the time.
Yep. Thanks, Griff.
All righty. This is Henrik Johansson again. Thank you so much for listening to Innovator Insights from Idea to Impact. If you are a successful product entrepreneur, or you work in a company that creates new products, and you have an interesting story about how you developed your product and brought it to market, and you would like to be on this podcast, please go to Gemba.com and click on podcast, and you can fill out an application to be on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. If you liked this podcast, you enjoyed this interview, and we would greatly appreciate if you would share it on social media. You can just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know anyone that you think would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovator Insights. And would love to see your posts and any suggestions you have to guests. That's how we find most of our guests, from suggestion from other listeners. We're regularly putting out new episodes and new content to make sure you don't miss any episodes. Please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and to me and the team. We really appreciate it. Do you want to know more about Gemba, me, or the podcast? Please go to Gemba.com and click on podcast, or you can follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I do most of my posts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.